Okay, so we are going to continue in Shmoneh Esrei. We did last week the first bracha of Ovos. Today we're going to do the second bracha and the third bracha. So, Ata Gibor. So the second bracha is sometimes referred to as the bracha of Tchias HaMesim, because it ends with Baruch Ata Hashem Mechai HaMesim, and sometimes it's referred to as Gevuros, because it starts with the words Ata Gibor. So we start Ata Gibor, L'Olam Hashem Mechai HaMesim Ata. Gibor conveys the idea of being more powerful than something else, overpowering. And as applied to Hashem, it means the absolutely superior strength. And this absolute strength manifests itself through the fact that Hashem calls all life into existence, and by the same token, can and will eventually also overpower and negate all existence. And this power that Hashem created to extinguish life is called the Malach HaMavos. And we're saying that even this power of destruction that Hashem created will eventually be overpowered by him, and will be negated, as we say, Bila Hamavis LaNetzach, he will eliminate death forever. Now we say, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, we say Hashem's name, and not Melech. Because Melech, as we've mentioned, has just a general relationship with his subjects, while a master, an Adon, has a personal one. And this Gevur of Hashem in negating the Malach Hamavis is in preparation for the creation of a new higher form of life, that of Tchias HaMesim. So the meaning here is, your Gevura does not stop at extinguishing the existence of the Malach HaMavos, but rather it lasts forever as manifested by Tchias HaMesim. So one should have in mind, as he says this, that I'm here to serve you, and I know that at some point my life here on earth will end, but your eternal power is such that eventually you will even negate the power you created that ended my life, and then I will live again by your power of Tchias HaMesim. And based on this, Rav Shimon Schwab says, both the names of Tchias HaMesim and Gevura therefore really convey the same idea. We continue Rav LaHoshia. Tchias HaMesim is the ultimate Yeshua. Tchias HaMesim is described, it says, V'rabim miyashenei admas ofar yikitsu eila l'chayi olam ve'eila l'charofos l'diron. That many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awaken, some for eternal life, and some for eternal shame. And this awesome event is called the Yom HaDin HaAchron, or the Yom HaDin HaGodol VaHanora. And Rav Aaron Kotler said that this judgment is in addition to the din following one's death. When a person leaves this world and comes before the heavenly court, he's judged only on the basis of his deeds in Olam Hazeh, up to the day of his death. However, the effects, or the results of his deeds or misdeeds, can have long-term consequences. So at the Yom HaDin HaGadol, one can get reward for all the beneficial influences his acts may have had, and the same for the misdeeds that influenced others he will be accountable for. It is for this reason even tzaddikim fear this day, as the Gemara tells us that when Shaul had Shmuel brought up by the Balas Ov, Shmuel was fearful that this was his Yom HaDin HaAchron. Mashiv HaRuach Umarid HaGoshem. This is said during the winter months only. And if one mistakenly said it in the summer, or if he forgets to say it in the winter, he is required to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. So the question is why is this so? What would be so bad in recognizing all year that Hashem creates rain? Life would be impossible without rain, as in California we're quickly learning that. Rav Shimon Schwab explains that rain represents both din and rachamim. If it rains in Eretz Yisrael in the summer months, it's harmful to agriculture, and it comes from din. So mentioning it at such a time would therefore represent the Midas HaDin, and it would be a distortion to the context of this entire bracha, which expresses Midas HaRachamim. And the reason that the Mesadre HaTfila inserted Mashiv Ruach here is because rainfall is equivalent to Tchias HaMesim. There's a machlokes as to the correct pronunciation of the Hebrew word rain used in this bracha. Usually, it's pronounced as Geshem, with a segel, unless it appears at the end of a statement, as it does here, in which case it's pronounced Goshem with a kametz. And Rav Moshe Feinstein paskind that we once should say Goshem. And this is, he says, there's evidence for this based on the fact that the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah paskind that if one forgets the same Mashiv Ruach Amarit Goshem in its customary place, he may insert it anywhere in the bracha because it's an independent statement. However, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and others argue that since the Gemara puts great emphasis on merging the themes of life-giving rain and Tchias HaMesim, it's incorrect to use Goshem, which implies a conclusion and appears to sever the phrase from the rest of the bracha. He says, additionally, Goshem, as we said, uses the vowel kametz, which literally means a clenched fist, whereas Geshem uses the vowel segol, which is cognate with segula. And when davening for rain, we want the symbolism of a treasure more than that of a clenched fist. Mechalkel chayim bechesed, mechayim esim rachman rabim. Mechalkel comes from the word of kole, restrain, or cool, to contain, both having the meaning of limitation. So we're saying that while Hashem sustains life bechesed, this kindness is nevertheless limited. To be sure, it is by chesed of Hashem that we're able to get up in the morning, we're able to think, we're able to see and hear, but not every person has been given these abilities. And even among those who have, there are differences among them, with some being more blessed than others. However, mechayim esim is done berachmim rabim, with absolute, unlimited, and boundless loving kindness. So mechnoflim, there are people who experience a constant series of falling down in their lives. They have one failure or disappointment after another, and they always see the bottom falling out from under them. And then suddenly, Hashem lifts them up, and they experience a turnaround in their lives. This is an example of a tchias hamesim-like event. V'rofei cholim, consider the case of someone who falls seriously ill, with the doctors abandoning all hope for his recovery, and he himself believing he will never get well. But then, he experiences a sudden, inexplicable recovery, and lives for many years, which again is a tchias hamesim-like event. Umatir asurim, if one is in prison without hope of release, and he suddenly receives a pardon, this too is a tchias hamesim-like event. And Rav Shimon Schwab says that these are all mechalkel chayim, these are all limited, because a person could once again fall, he could once again get sick, or he can go back to prison. Umekayim emunosol sheni ofar. This means that the actual event of Tchias HaMesim, Hashem will fulfill his faithfulness to those who are asleep in the dust, Berachimim Rabim. And the Gra tells us, we use the word sleep, because all the dead people appear as if there is nothing alive about them, their spirituality is always alive. And in this sense, a deceased person is only sleeping. Rav Victor Miller observes that this is true even for those whose graves are lost and whose bodies have disintegrated. Some bodies have drowned in the ocean. Some were entirely burnt and their ashes were scattered. Nevertheless, Hashem is faithful. He keeps account of every molecule of dust and ashes and will collect them all, despite the passage of thousands of years. The Sefer HaYikar summarizes the bracha up until here and says like this. He says, men of power often use their strength to oppress and dominate others. However, this is not true of Hashem, who uses his might to sustain the living with kindness. Human tyrants exercise their might to kill people, but Hashem resuscitates the dead. Human strong men topple their rivals, torture and imprison them, but Hashem supports the fallen, heals the sick, and releases the confined. Human bullies lie, steal, and cheat anyone too helpless or weak to retaliate, but Hashem maintains his faith, even to those helplessly asleep in the dust. Michamocha ba'al gevuros, strength is in the plural here, and it refers to both aspects of the Gvur of Hashem, the strength of destroying life and of destroying the destroyer of life. Umido melech, we have no frame of reference for Hashem, he's incomprehensible. Melech, meimis, umachaya, this is based on the pasuk of ani omis va'achaya. And the act of taking away life is itself the beginning of the tchias hamesim. As it's stated, ha'ilodim lamus v'hamesim lichyos, the newborn will die, the dead will live again. From the moment a person's created, his heart begins to beat. And it beats throughout his life, but we are programmed that eventually the beating will stop. And the same applies to death. Death is also programmed for eventual life. Umatzmiach Yeshua, tzemach means a slow process of growth. When the neshama and the guf are separated at the time of death, both go through a purification process. The neshama is purified in the higher world, the guf is purified by its disintegration in the kever. By turning into the dust of earth, it is cleansed of all of its sins and tumah. Then at Tchias HaMesim, the two purified entities are united. Therefore, Matzmiach Yeshua means that at the time of a person's death, Hashem begins a slow purification process of both guf and neshama, and this process will eventually grow into the ultimate Yeshua when the purified guf and neshama are united at Tchias HaMesim. V'nemon atol achios mesim. We have full emuna that tchias mesim will take place. Baruch atah Hashem mechay hamesim. Our belief in tchias mesim is so strong that we make this bracha in present tense as if we've witnessed it ourselves. And there's a halacha that if one sees his friend who he has not seen in over a year, he's supposed to say Baruch atah Hashem mechay hamesim, since this is like a tchias hamesim. And as we know, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we add Michamocha of Arachamim, Zochi Yitzurah V'chaim Barachamim, meaning we're asking Hashem that in His mercy to allow us to experience Chiyas HaMesim and live again. Moving into Ata Kadosh. So the word Kadosh has as at its core the meaning of separation. Kidoshim Tiyu is explained by Chazal to mean Have Purushim in Harayos and in Avera. Thus, when we speak of an Ish Kadosh, we mean a person who has separated and raised himself above most other people. And Rav Shimon Schwab says, we find this word used in the opposite sense also, Hakadesha, the harlot. Here is someone who separated themselves for a lewd purpose. It was also the name of many border cities, which showed the separation of Eretz Yisrael and its neighboring countries. As it relates to Hashem, the concept Kadosh conveys the thought of His being far removed from our sphere of understanding. And our bracha contains the word Kadosh three times, and it's based on the pronouncement of the Malachim and the Nevuah of Yeshaya of Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos. So the bracha starts Ata Kadosh. This corresponds to the first Kadosh and is accented by a darga, a rising tone, expressing the total incomprehensibility of any conception of Hashem in our minds. He is completely separated and removed from our understanding. The human mind cannot comprehend something that has no beginning and no end. He is simply Kadosh. V'shimcha Kadosh. This corresponds to the second Kadosh and is accented by a tvir, a falling sound, indicating that Hashem has revealed to us certain aspects of His being, His name. This means that while we have no conception of Him, nevertheless, Hashem has revealed to us His names, His attributes, the aspects of His beings that He wishes us to know. Ukdoshim b'chol yom ya'alu chasela. This corresponds to the third Kadosh and refers to the holy beings, the Malachim, to whom the names of Hashem in the Torah was revealed first. Baruch atah Hashem hakel kadosh. The Torah tells us, Kadoshim tiyu, which conveys the thought, you shall remove yourselves far away from prohibited unions. And the Torah tells us the reason is, Ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem, that the reason we're supposed to be holy is because Hashem is holy. And Rav Shimon Schwab asks, he says this is analogous to a king saying, you shall be a king because I am a king. How can Hashem ask us to be holy because He's holy? We're human beings. Hashem created us with a Yetzer Hara. He placed us in a material world with all its attractions and enticements. And he explains that Hashem is telling us, Kedoshim Tiyu, which means Purushim Tiyu. Separate yourselves from your animal urges. Why? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I've placed within you a spark of my Kedusha, the Tzelem Elokim, which is the ability of the human being to overpower and separate himself from his Yetzer Hara. Just as Hashem is Kadosh, meaning above and not bound by His nature, He is imbued in the human being with a similar power of Kedusha, that of being able to transcend His own urges and inclinations and separate Himself from them. And we thank Hashem for giving us this ability of transcending our animal urges and thereby assuming an aspect of Kedusha by saying this bracha. We have mentioned that Kel denotes Midas Rachmim of Hashem, and the greatest Rachmim that Hashem has shown us is that He's given us this ability to become Kedoshim. And this is true even if someone has already succumbed to his desires and tasted Averos, and he's developed a desire to do more Averos. He still has within him the capacity for Kedusha that Hashem has granted to him, to overcome his nature and to become a person whom the Torah can call Kadosh. During the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we end this bracha, we substitute, and we say HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaKel HaKadosh. Because during this period, the time of Din, we apply much stricter standards to ourselves, and we do not rely on V'chanosi Yis Asher Achon, V'richamti Yis Asher Arachem, that I will grant mercy and have compassion to those I wish to favor. Denoted by the name Kel, which could sometimes result in a person being favored even if he does not deserve it. However, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, if one does not do tshuva and relies only on the Midas HaRachamim, he will not pass the test of the Yemei HaDin. And therefore, during this time, we do not stress the Hakel aspect of Hashem, but rather we're encouraged to look fearfully at Hashem as our Melech, as the King, who describes our faith based on our actions and not on mercy alone. And to close with a story and the homework, so I got an email, I get these Emunah emails, so I got this Friday. It relates to this week's Parsha, so I figured it has to do with the Parsha and Tefillah. It was pretty apropos to then quote over. So we know that the Parsha opened Veschanan, it says Veschanan El Hashem, and we know the famous Chazal, Veschanan equals 515, that Moshe asked 515 times to go into Eretz Yisrael, and we know that Rashi tells us that if he davened one more time, Hashem would have had to grant him his request. And the Medrash comments that there are some tefillos that are answered after 40 days, some after 20 days, some after 3 days, and some immediately. And the Medrash concludes by citing Rav Chiya Rabbah as saying that one should never stop davening, because Yesha Sheyitnu Lach, the time will come when one's request is granted. And people sometimes think, I've been davening for years and nothing has changed, I should just give up. We should never give up. Even if it does not appear as though our tefillos accomplished anything, each and every one has been heard and brought us closer to our desired goal. We might draw a comparison to a 2-foot thick wall in which one wants to open a window. Each day he chips a centimeter or so of the wall, but the room is still pitch black, and it does not appear as though he's accomplished anything. But if he continues just for another couple of weeks, just for a little longer, the room will be filled with light, and then he will recognize the value of every ounce of effort he invested in the undertaking. The same is true of tefillah. Each and every tefillah we recite makes a dent, and eventually we will see the fruits of our labor. Additionally, we must realize that sometimes we require 10 years of tefillah to obtain what we want, while sometimes something else we could just take a tefillah or two. There's no reason to feel discouraged when our tefillah seem ineffective. This does not mean Hashem is not listening. It's very possible that in some other area of life, our tefillahs will be answered right away. He says, a woman once told him that she experienced this firsthand. Said every day she said she had a phone conference with a few friends reading together a few pages from a book. One day during her conference, she read that we're supposed to ask Hashem for help that we need in any area of life. We should be praying not only for our major needs such as shidduchim, health, livelihood, but even for our more trivial needs. And the woman had always assumed that we should not be bothering Hashem, as it were, with the little things in life, and was surprised to learn to the contrary. Hashem always wants to hear from us and is never bothered by our pleas for help. She thus decided to begin praying to Hashem to help her with a squirrel problem that she had been dealing with for over 15 years. She had squirrels all over her front porch and yard, and they would constantly scratch the walls of her house. The woman and her husband had brought in the greatest squirrel experts, but no one was helped to solve the problem, and the squirrels kept multiplying. Eventually, several years ago, they gave up and resigned themselves to the fact that they would have to live with the squirrels. A few days after she davened to Hashem to get rid of the squirrels, she stopped hearing them scratching. It was a miracle. They suddenly disappeared. They had no idea what happened. Shortly thereafter, her husband was walking to shul when he saw a man looking with interest up at a tree. The man invited her husband over to watch, and they saw a bird. "You see that bird?" the man said. "It kills squirrels and eats them." The husband couldn't believe it. He told his wife about what the man had showed him, and later that day, as the woman was sitting in her porch, she saw a bird with huge claws land on top of the gate to the porch. Frightened, she ran inside and watched from the window. Suddenly, the bird swooped down to the front yard and killed the squirrel. The woman couldn't believe what she just saw. She began wondering how she's going to get rid of the dead squirrel from her property. And then the bird came back 2 minutes later and took the dead squirrel away. She later found out this bird was a hawk. She had been living in the neighborhood of Muncie for years and had never before seen a hawk. Hashem took care of her problem right away and even showed her how it was done. "I've been praying for other things all these years," she said, "and at times I couldn't help think that Hashem does not want to listen to me, but now I see that He always hears us. And we have to, therefore, be mechazik out tefillos and realize that, you know, there are things that we ask," and I know my girls always quote, they quote this Medrash, always say, if I daven for whatever it is 515 times, Hashem's going to give it to me. And after seeing this, I just mentioned that, yes, there are those who say that, but at the same time, that, you know, we should, you know, if there's something that's important and you really daven for it, You know, it can come quickly, it can come slowly, but the tefillah will eventually be answered. And if we keep on davening, even though, yes, we're now on Yud Dalet Av, we're a few days past Tisha B'Av, but if we daven with the intensity that we want Mashiach, we want the Geula, especially with everything going on in the world, or we daven whether it's a personal Geula, a personal tefillah that we have, if we do it with the right kavana and we constantly make that chip, make that dent, Hashem will eventually answer us and bring the Mashiach and everything else that we are looking for. And the homework, obviously, as always, is at least once over the week, as you say the bracha of Atta Gibor and Atta Kadosh, to think about some of what we've discussed here today at Devad.